Deadass, do you know what you're gonna ask me though?
Bro, are you dumb, bro? Are you serious right now? The fuck do you mean? Do I know what I'm gonna ask you, bro? You're sitting on the Question Will Be Ever podcast. With that being said, welcome to the Question Will Be Ever podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on all your podcast platforms. Subscribe on YouTube and check out our newest website at QBmediagroup.com. With that being said, we got a special guest over here today. You've seen him before on the show. You've seen him with our new show that's coming out soon, Penthouse Views.
Is it coming out soon?
It is coming out very soon. It's been coming out soon for a minute.
Right.
Yeah. It's been coming out soon for a minute. But and just so everybody knows, he just questioned me if I know what I'm going to ask him in my own interview show.
Listen, man, I got to make sure. I just got to make sure.
He said, do you know what you're going to ask me?
People get comfortable.
I've known him for a while now. I don't even have to put the notes, but I got notes anyway. I could just ask shit. But anyway,
be ready.
With that being said, now he's going to piss me off.
It's Cool Kid Dre.
So we're going to start off. Well, everybody knows we like to start off with, first of all, we like to start off with everybody's accomplishments. You know what I mean? We want to let people know why you're worthy of sitting here. And with that being said, you opened up for Lil Durk. You opened up for Twista.
I did.
You toured at South By. You toured internationally 5 times in Taiwan, Poland. Did you go to Paris?
We went to France. We went to France. It wasn't Paris, but it was France. Cannes.
Oh, Cannes is nice. Cannes. I'm supposed to go to Cannes Festival for press coverage.
That's what we performed at.
Yeah, I was at Cannes Festival.
Yes, sir.
For the movie festival.
Mm-hmm. It's more than a movie festival. It's like South By.
Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't know, but I was supposed to go do press coverage 2020. Then Corona.
Next year.
So yeah, we'll just cry about it today. So Cool Kid Dre just came out with a new EP.
Album. Wait, which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about the one right before Work Bay.
That's the EP.
That's the EP.
That's the EP.
You didn't come out with the album yet.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, see. Do you know what you're gonna sit here and talk about, bro? Come on now.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. So Dre.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're gonna. You've been doing music for a very long time, almost 20 years now. So in between, all right, I've only listened as far back as the Cool Tapes too.
Okay.
All right, that's kind of where around the. I met you after that.
Yeah.
So I've only listened that far back.
Okay.
So in between Cool Tapes and then Metaphor, and then I actually am. What's the name of your latest EP?
It's Not You, It's Me.
Yes, It's Not You, It's Me.
No, It's Not Me, It's You.
It's Not Me, It's You.
Yeah, I can make that sense.
All right, so I noticed something in between the artist side of you between then and now, and the transitions in between the 3 different albums, and a lot of your music is based on, I don't want to say troubles, but it's based around your love life. Let's say
I can say that.
There was just a certain different way that you used to portray yourself in your love life in Cool Tapes 2 versus how you do now. You were a lot more straightforward, a lot more arrogant. For example, in the one song, it's called, I think, Guilty Pleasure. you literally straight up say, I fucked your cousin. And then you get to Metaphor. And then Metaphor with Petty, you're basically like, oh, fine, we can break up, but you could go play in traffic. And then we get to the, it's not me, it's you. No, it's not you, it's me.
Right, or the issue.
And then that's when you're like, oh, baby, you sure it's a breakup? Because it kind of feels like a breakup. So tell me about that change between, you know, I fucked your cousin, play in traffic, and no, baby, please.
I never thought about it like that. I think back in that time, I was so focused on, like, without even realizing it, portraying this image of what I thought people saw of me. Like, I felt like people wanted me to, I feel like people saw me and talked to me and was around me and then kind of put this image of what Cool Kid Dre was, and I was so aware of it because I wanted...
You wanted to be that guy.
I wanted to be that guy because it's not so far from who I am, but it's definitely like an exaggerated version of it. Mm-hmm. And I guess at that point, I was still finding myself as a person and an artist. So I was comfortable speaking on those situations because I felt like it showed a certain light of me. And I felt like it furthered the image that people were accustomed to seeing from me.
So you had, kind of like a little bit of a hype build up before you even came back to New York. Yeah. I guess people, especially at a young age, were already treating you as an artist. So right. You're already feeling like, all right, I'm Dre the artist.
Right.
So with that hype, you were trying to be like, oh, this is what you guys think Dre does? Yeah, he does that.
Right.
Times two.
Exactly. It was like, you know, I was somebody who, when I was growing up, music was always my thing. Like prior to me finding out that I was like a singer or a rapper or anything like that, this is all before like 7, 8 years old, I felt like no one ever paid me much mind. Like I just remembered like people would walk into a room and just walk around me and not say anything to me. And once I like found a little bit of confidence in music, and then that kind of like opened me up, and then I found out that, you know, girls still liked me. So once I like instantly found that out, I was like, I'm never going back to being on the wall, like just being paint on a wall. And I just kind of dove headfirst into it, and I never looked back. So like music was always like my persona in itself, really. I was just using it to hide all these insecurities of not being noticed.
So basically your love for music started in the same way. You saw someone singing and all the attention they were getting, you're like, I want that attention.
Did you see that in an interview? So, did I say that to you?
You didn't say that to me in an interview. Yeah. Motherfucker. Do I know what I'm gonna ask?
This Nard War.
Come on. Do I know what I'm gonna ask? That's what he wanted to ask me. So you see, I think it was your friend's brother. Yeah. You see him performing in front of people when you were like 7, 8 years old.
Dude.
And you're like, I want that attention.
Yeah.
So when did you like lose the attention a little bit to kind of like snap back and be like, oh, I need, this is the reason I'm doing it for. I need everybody to know I'm the fucking guy, I'm the artist, and keep paying attention.
I think what happened was, is I didn't have it, then I grabbed it, and I just never looked back. And then, like I said, I was so focused on continuously proving. I realized I was trying to prove it to myself more than anything. Like I was trying to be the person I saw myself as. And then to answer the original question of what kind of changed between, you know, mm-hmm. this project and prior projects, is I don't feel like I have anything to prove anymore. I feel like I'm much more comfortable as a person, which makes me much more comfortable as an artist, which then allows me to be much more vulnerable and speak on situations in a different light.
So you're kind of like almost not taking it with that arrogance, like that younger self-arrogance in a sense.
Yeah.
And you're more like, I'm just trying to tell a perfect story, instead of like, hey, look at what I do and blah, blah, blah. Right. Look at me in a sense. It's more like, listen to my story.
Exactly. Because even on Metaphor, there were a few of the songs that were on Metaphor were actually supposed to be on the upcoming album 5G's Later. And there's like a sense of vulnerability in those songs. I just feel like, yeah, now the real reason I picked the songs I picked for 5G's Later is because I wanted to show the most vulnerable side of myself as I could. Like, it was very, very intentional, and without losing like, you know, the vibe of great music. I wanted to balance it out.
So another question I had for you, more personal question in a sense, is like, with your own albums and your own projects, I feel like it's one side of your artistry. It's more of that R&B feel, more of a romance, talking about a lot of romance and anti-romance songs, let's say.
True that.
But then when you perform with Steel a lot, in certain songs, a different side of you comes out.
Yeah.
You know, you have the bar heavy Dre, you know.
Yeah.
So why haven't you tried? I mean, in your earlier songs, you were putting right. a lot of bars and whatever. But now, the last few singles you dropped with Steel, it was the bar heavy Dre, a different type of person.
And then the R&B stuff.
And then the R&B stuff is on your own personal projects. Why haven't you tried to mix and match that?
Well, what happened was, I was always a rapper. Like, I was always a rapper who just sung. Like, even when I first started music and I was like singing a little bit, once I started rapping, I always considered myself a rapper. And then I was just doing that for years. And even my projects earlier on that you spoke on, like they were both rapping and singing, but majority rapping. And then I decided to do, this is like 2015, like when me and Steel really started moving around, I decided to do a cover, the Proud Family cover. And I did that. I did that at the same exact time we were going on tour. So everything kind of blew up around that time. So the idea of like, oh, let me just try an R&B project, let me just see what that would be like, just kind of happened in sync with everything kind of blowing up. So it just kind of shifted my entire trajectory and just go, all right, cool, I'll become an R&B artist. And it doesn't mean I'll never rap again. It doesn't mean I'm not going to, like, you know, do any more hip-hop records, because obviously I do them with Steel, and I plan on doing them for myself as well. But it just kind of pushed me in this direction, and then it showed me that, I, like, clearly I've been wanting to do this because I've embraced it without even thinking about it. So I think that it was more just the... It was pushed by all the attention that kind of came at one time, but I clearly was very comfortable with making that shift.
I mean, just from the songs that are out right now, you can tell that, you know, R&B is definitely a good lane for you.
Thank you.
But I haven't personally, I want to see more of a mixture. Not more raps.
Okay.
I want to see R&B with rapper Dre in it at the same time. So is that something that we're going to hear in 5Gs, or is that...
Nah, a 5Gs is strictly R&B. A full R&B project. I'm definitely going to give
a little bit of a pop touch, if I'm not mistaken, from some of the stuff I've heard.
Definitely, definitely with a little bit of a pop touch. But as far as, like, the hip-hop side of things go, like, that's never going to leave me. I'm a rapper at heart. Like, it'll never leave. And I definitely plan on doing more hip-hop records. But for this album, the story I wanted to tell just felt more comfortable as an R&B project. And, like, this is my first album, you know, and I felt like... My prior projects before, I was kind of doing a little bit of both, because I felt more as a rapper, but I wanted to prove, once again, I was trying to prove myself that I could do both. So with this one, I wanted to stick to one thing, and it was like, this is R&B, I'm comfortable here, and then my next project, I may decide to do all rap. Whatever it is, it's going to be in a space of comfort, as opposed to me trying to prove something to anyone else.
Mm. So with that being said, just take a quick look at this commercial break with the Stainless brand. You'll see a little bit of a tour tapes from Kool Kid and Steelion. And we'll be right back. Life got me feeling like the world in hell is paralyzed. We all came out the cut. We all just different fabrics. Can't show me love on the way. If you went in the casket, legacy embroidery. All year on all our jackets. $20,000 overseas. Got different tactics. My life was written as a book. You beat the Bible backwards. You niggas cuff the ratchets. Now my niggas bust the ratchets. Cause most of the time, yeah, nigga, I'm trying to build with you. And we're back.
Scene.
That was just a brief message by Steelion and the Stainless brand. Make sure to check them out. Check out Steelion. Cool Kid Dre is sitting right here. So you don't have a choice but to click on his name.
Facts.
All right. So where do we leave off? We were talking about your latest album. Yes. Before we really dig deep into the 5Gs later and the 5 Girlfriends later and the story behind that whole process, I want to bring it back to, we were talking a little bit about how you started. With watching your friend's brother perform and all that.
Right.
So your uncle was also an artist.
He was an artist.
He actually toured. I forget with which big band he toured with.
He toured with Wu-Tang.
He toured Wu-Tang. Oh, I actually didn't know that at all.
Yeah, he did.
All right, damn. He toured with Wu-Tang. And he was on Times Square on the Billboard as well.
He was.
Which you were on the Times Square Billboard as well. That's where we met.
That is.
When your album was on the Times Square thing.
Yeah,
so
man, New York Fashion Week.
So tell me, like, having your uncle as a rapper and seeing him kind of coming up through these achievements young, did that give you a motivation as an artist to kind of keep going and knowing, like, oh, this is, seeing it happen kind of makes it feel like it's attainable. So seeing your uncle do it, did that give you that extra push?
I'm telling you, man, my uncle Greg is like one of the best people I've ever met in life. I just love that man so much. Yo, he really was like, even deeper than music, like, you know, when my dad was in jail, like, he was the only connection I had to, like, my dad's side of the family. Like, early on, like, my grandfather would take me to visit my dad, and then he kind of, like, ran into some things, and then a few of my dad's friends would take me from time to time. But my Uncle Greg, once he started taking me, like, he just was so invested in, you know, me being an artist because he saw how fascinated I was, and he never talked to me like I was, like, a kid. Like, he always gave me game as he was going along through it, because, like, he's 11 years older than me. So when I was, like, 7-8 years old, he...
Okay. Actually, you know, bro, that's funny. One of my uncles, he's 11 years older than me.
Yeah, and it's my, like, dad's a deep connection.
Yeah.
It's, super deep. It's like he's, like, an older brother to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So as he's going through these experiences, he's not sugarcoating anything. He's telling me exactly what's going on. And I guess he just trusted that I would, at some point, soak in the knowledge, and then he just saw it all in front of him. So he taught me how to produce. Like, he... So back to the original question of, was it an influence? It was the greatest influence. Like, just seeing that it was possible. He used to bring me to the studio in the city. And, like, it was, like, this big, amazing studio. And he introduced me to like his manager. And my first ever music video I was in his video. Like, is a video on YouTube, the Hot Blocks video. And like, it was such, it was so much motivation and it was such inspiration to be like, yo, somebody I know personally is doing things that I want to do. And he cared enough about me to not just put me in the video. He sat me down and told me how to produce. And then, you know, even going to engineering school, I was shaky about doing that. He was like, no, do that. Like, that's how you can, you know, take care of the entire process yourself. And like, he just was always motivating me. And at the same time, he was just excited. I can imagine, you know, as an older brother now, anytime my little brother does anything remotely exciting.
Damn.
It's like, look at him, look at him.
Funny story, just the other day, my brother, I don't even know if I should be saying, but this, but hopefully his friends don't listen.
They'll listen.
Yeah, this first movie. Like little date in a sense. Yeah. All right. Well, he was hanging out with some girls.
Okay.
He, you know, my brother, Dion's young.
Right.
So he was hanging out with some girls. I got mad excited.
Right.
He's hanging out with girl.
Right.
I said, go. I said, call our father. I said, tell him to drive you to my apartment and take the TV off my wall because your TV's ass. And put the TV. So they went. They took the TV off the wall. I don't have a TV anymore.
Right.
Just so he could
look cool.
Have a TV for the girls that he's going to see and shit. So I got to go buy a new TV this
good
week.
Big brother, man.
But, yeah, I was like, go get the TV off the wall now. Get it. Go, go. I was on FaceTime with him. I was looking in the room. I said, bro, you better fucking move all that furniture. I said, take that couch, bring it over
get
here.
Get those toys out of here.
Vacuum the damn fucking floor. Like, what are you doing?
And he's just like, okay.
I said, call me for pointers.
Text you in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, when you're like the older brother and like you're experiencing those things, I can only imagine what that felt like for him to watch me go from like singing in a choir to like performing at school, like shows. And then now I'm like performing overseas. He's like, he's like, yeah, he's like, it's crazy.
They're just humming your songs. They don't even know the words.
Exactly. They don't even have all the words. That's a funny thing. We could talk about that because I remember the Hot Blocks videos. This is my first music video, right? And like, so I'm like 13 years old and we're in the middle of 125th over on the west side. And I'm the only like kid there. I'm the only kid there. So these girls, this is like the most embarrassing moment of my life to this point. So these two girls walk by, right? And like, they're probably maybe like a year older than me. They're clearly like a little bit older than me. But everyone's like, oh, Lil Dre, that's you, that's you. So they walk by and they smile or whatever the case may be. And they walk down the block. So I'm like, yeah, they left. They're like, oh, you playing? You know how that is. Yeah. So they walk back down. It was like, nah, you got to say something. Now at this point, it's like 12 grown men like on me. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to say something. I didn't know what I was going to say. So like, I walk behind the two girls and like my mouth is moving, but there's no words coming out. I'm just like, just mouthing. And like, but they can't see me. So I'm like, and so I'm so focused on trying to get the words out. I step on the back of this girl's brand new Jordans. Like, these are like the brand new Jordans. And she just turned around. She's like, can I help you? Like mad, like word, like it escalated very quickly. And like, I'm still not saying anything. I'm like mouthing words. It's like, yeah, I thought so. And walked away.
Yeah, I thought so. And the two girls you're gonna talk to. She's like, can I help you?
And they walked away. So. And the funny
she's about to beat your ass, let alone
But the funny shit is, I'm like two blocks away, so they can't tell what they saying. And so it looked like we at least talked. So I walked back up the block. So they're like, I see you, man. It be like that sometimes. It be like that. I'm like,
I try. I gave him two lies. She had a boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? She had a boyfriend.
And like, nah, I don't think they have any idea that happened. So that might be the first time I've ever told that story. Yeah, man. Shout out to my Uncle Greg, man. Love him, man.
So going from that story to the Five Girlfriends Later project.
Right.
Five girlfriends later. Yeah. Each song is a woman's name.
Each song is not a woman's name, but each song, each like
the couple I heard.
Yeah,
so
I assumed
because it would have been dope.
But the five girls' names that I do have on the cassette tapes for the album.
Oh yeah. Exactly. There's definitely much more than five songs.
Yeah. So
I was half right.
I use the names as markers in like life. I feel like. A lot of times when you talk to people, and I noticed this in conversation, when you talk to them and ask them about a year, like, you know, back in 2015, a lot of people think back to who they were with at that time. Like, it's like a placeholder. So, like, oh, yeah, I was dealing with so-and-so, or I just broke up with this person. Like,
makes sense.
So for me, I was like, I'll use that as markers in my own life and start. The names on the cover kind of go in chronological order, and the names are, like, representations. I decided not to use their actual names.
Okay, that was the next question.
Yeah.
Not real names.
I didn't use their actual names just because I'm cool with most of them, and then the one I'm not so cool with, they're married. They got kids.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I definitely
don't want to cause any issues.
I don't want to cause any trouble. And
it was
like
just a moment in your life.
Yeah, it was a moment in time, and I just felt like I wanted to give it like without making her feel like a lot of the songs are like really looking back at like a moment we had. So I don't want them thinking that like I'm still living in that. But I definitely don't mind anyone asking me, did I really feel that, and was I really like, yeah, absolutely, I felt everything. Felt that 100% in that moment. And it's really more about telling the story so that, one, I can relate to people, and two, I can, like, give light to a situation where someone may be as confused as I was at that age. So, for example, one of the songs, Growing Pains, I'm speaking on, like, what it feels like to grow apart from someone when you've never grown apart from someone. So, like, growing apart sounds like a super amicable thing where it's like, oh, I'm going this way, you're going this way. But if you've never grown apart from someone, it just feels like you're just like, why don't I want to spend time with you anymore? And why don't I know I love you, but I don't want to kick it with you anymore. And I'd rather be doing this. And you're okay with this until I bring it up. And now it's an issue. It's all these things that's happening. You just start feeling crazy. So it wasn't until years later. It took me like, I would say that relationship ended around 2014. I had been trying to write this song ever since then because I've been trying to find the words. Shit, I hope we all right. I have been trying to find the outside shooting. I've been trying to find the words to write that song for so long. And what happened was I found this beat and I had like started like the hook and I had stopped, like I had stopped just because I didn't know what else to say. So oddly enough, I called Tanika. I was like literally in the studio and I called Tanika.
Okay. Tanika Rose, right?
Tanika Rose. I called her literally up and I didn't like, that's the kind of relationship we have. Like I didn't say hi or nothing. I was like, yo, Neek. How is it that you could just be with somebody for mad long and then not want to be around them anymore? It said, oh, people grow apart. And then that entire thing just clicked in my head and like the entire relationship, I was able to put in perspective and I was able to write the song in a way that was about growing apart. And I could look back and go, oh, now everything just made more sense to me when I was able to put it in that perspective. So I didn't want that person feeling like, oh, are you still on that? I'm like, nah, I'm not still on that, but I was very much in that moment, and I have no problem putting it out there for somebody else who may be going through something similar. So
with that being said, since it kind of follows along basically with your old music and, you know, kind of just the persona of Cool Kid Dre as an independent artist is a lot of that talk.
Very much so.
You also have a show with Scarlett that is... basically about that talk.
Right.
It's about that talk and kind of just being comfortable with your friend and just having very comfortable conversations that give people kind of like enlightenment and sense of like, oh, this is what women do, this is what men do, et cetera. So tell me like how that idea came together with you two and, you know, how many more episodes are we looking for? What's the plan?
So full disclosure, the season finale is happening the week before the album drops.
Okay.
That was all part of the plan. So
I was gonna ask. It seemed like it was planned.
Yeah. The 19th the album drops, whatever that Friday is. I'm not sure what that is. The Friday before. But how the show came about, that's also a funny story. We had around, so this is quarantine time, right? And we decided, me and Steel had already been shooting our version of a reality show and Survive the Losses.
Right.
So when quarantine hit, we decided to put out the episode.
Check out my cameo on Survive the Losses.
Right, he's definitely on there. So we started to shoot that, and at the time, like, that was just the content because I didn't have any music out. So then everyone was kind of going live. So one day I see Scarlett on live with this dude who's like, just, you know, that's his thing, you know, and I saw it and I was like, oh, she had never went live before. So I go watch the live and like it was super dry, like she just was not being
herself,
right? Like I just knew it. And so I'm watching it, so I'm not entertained. So she calls me after. And I don't know if she saw me on the live, but like she was only on there for like 5-10 minutes. So she calls me and goes, hey, like, you know, I was like, yo, son, you was on live? Like, you didn't tell me nothing? She's like, yeah, I was nervous about it. Like, I didn't really know what to say. You know, I would feel more comfortable if me and you did something like that. I'm like, shit, let's go live. So she's like, all right, cool. So we start going live. You know, I'm drinking the Henny. She drinking the
which is the same way I went out live with both of you. But okay.
Yo, I'm drinking the Henny. She drinking whatever she drinking on her side. And in the midst of us just having like relationship talk, because that's kind of like what was going on at the time. Like everyone on their lives are just talking about relationship shit.
Yeah, because half the people were breaking up.
Right, exactly.
Half the people were having babies.
So we're talking to whatever case may be. And while we on there, there's this dude who jumps in the comments and was like, yo, why you ain't never go on this date with me or something? Something alluding to that.
Yeah.
And you know me egging shit on. I'm like, yeah, son, why you never... what's up? Why you curving him? Yeah, and I'm egging it on. So while I'm egging it on, another dude jumps in and is like,
me too. No. No, for real?
He dead ass jumps in and is like, yo, bro, she don't want to talk to you. Let it be. And they're beefing in the comments. So I'm like egging it
the
on.
The two guys are
the
beefing
two
in the comments.
Are beefing in the comments. It's like, oh, the funniest shit, bro. So like we're literally trying to have a relationship talk. I'm off the Henny. I'm egging.
He's
shit
like,
on.
Let go, bro. She right. don't want you. She wants me.
I'm egging the whole shit on. So right. So while I'm doing this, CJ, my little brother, and Steela hitting me up, like, yo, bro, relax. Cause she's hitting them up. Like, yo, talk to your boy. Tell him to relax. But I'm off the Henny.
Oh, my God. You're like, bro. I ain't relaxing.
I'm not relaxing.
Shit.
I'm nothing. Everybody's
just so everybody knows. Once Dre drinks a little bit, he's very quick to jump into humping the floor and shit. So you know if it was coming here, there was no floor to hump. So he was doing something equally fucked up.
So I'm bugging. And so everyone's in the comments, like, just having a good time. So I wake up the next day after I've had a great laugh. And
so much fun for me and nobody else.
Right. So everyone's hitting me up, like, yo, the live was dope. Y'all was mad funny. Because even through all this going on, she's still like giving great content. Like, she's still keeping her composure. Yeah. So
at least one of you were.
Right. So Steel calls me and was like, yo, son, you know he's bugging last night. I was like, what you mean? No, I wasn't. Like, we good. So then I text her and I was like, yo, what's up? She's like, hi. I'm like, oh.
Man. Well, she just only says hi.
I was like, oh. So, all right, that's what I knew. I fucked it up. But everyone was hitting me up like, yo, y'all should do it again. Y'all should do it again. I'm like, yo, bro, she's not going to get on this live with me. It's over. Bro, she was so mad because I guess in the midst of everything going on, I don't remember it happening. I don't think this is what happened, but I'm willing to take the L because it's probably whatever.
You didn't save the live, clearly.
You know what I'm saying? Apparently, I egged someone on to send her a picture of themselves. Like, I don't remember saying
okay.
it. Right. So she then sends me a picture.
You won't send a dick pic?
I think I said that.
If you really want to go out with her, she loves dick pics. Like,
I don't think I said that, but I definitely said something stupid along the lines.
Quite equivalent.
Yeah.
Think equivalent.
So she's hot. I'm thinking the show idea is over because everyone's like, yo, y'all should do a show. We had just come off the Survivor Losses joint. Everything's going great. So in my mind, I'm like, yo, this is another... You know, it's another opportunity to show another side of myself, and I get to kick it with my friend, and we just talk. So I'm thinking the idea is dead. So one day I get on live with my little brother. It's probably like a week and a half later, some shit like that. I'm on live with my little brother just talking, and she in the comments, and she had said something like, yeah, we should go live again. So I'm like, oh.
Okay.
All right, cool. So we get off the, me and CJ get off the live, and I call her. I'm like, yo, you down to do live? She's like, yeah, just watch your mouth. You know, and I'm like, yeah.
Don't drink, Henny.
Right. I'm like, you got it, son. I'm going to chill. I'm going to relax. So we did the live again, and everyone was still engaged. So you're like, yo, we should, you know, turn it into something else. We didn't want to keep doing lives because it was just weird. So we decided to, like, just, you know, it was middle of quarantine. So we literally just got in the crib for, like, a couple days, and we just let the camera run, pulled out the drinks, you know, and just kind of, like, let our inner thoughts out. And
stuff's kind of just started coming
stuff
together.
Stuff just kind of coming together into a show, and we, you know, just edited it together. And like literally like every moment we were kicking it, I would just pull out the camera and just be like, whatever happens, happens. And I was able to catch a lot of content. So this whole entire first season I've been putting out literally stems from like 4 days we were in quarantine together, her birthday, a few clips from like, you know, just us around. Like literally if I put it all in the timeline, all this was in a span of like a week. And I've been able to space out the content because I knew getting her to sit down for longer than,
right.
you know, I knew I wouldn't be able to catch her like every month. So I'm like, yo, let me just
get it all done quick and we got a whole show.
And people really, you know, were engaged with the show and it really showed another side of me. And speaking because a lot of people didn't know I spoke like that and how candid I was unless you really knew me.
No, I think it's definitely a dope vibe between the both of you because you guys are so comfortable with each other that as... Like a person just watching in, you kind of feel like you're joined in that conversation because they're so comfortable. You're like, oh, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said, you know, and man, they're having a conversation that you normally would want to have.
I've known Scarlett since I was like 6 years old. So like we went to elementary school together, and then like we would just kept in touch. And then I moved to North Carolina. When I came back, you know what I'm saying, we would always keep in touch. So once I moved back from North Carolina, we were just like kicking it all the time. So that's like my man's from the sandbox. So it was nothing for us to like put together a show, and like so for me it was dope to have a show with Steel that did really well, and I could kick it with my man's over there. And I get to do the show with Scarlett where the show is coming out.
Really you know, you get to show people a little bit more of yourself, which, you know, that's kind of how
absolutely
everybody sticks
exactly
through it. You were just thinking about that? That situation that we're going to have not put on microphone?
No comment.
Anyway, Kobe's a good dog. All right, so going back, initially, you do mostly all your beats. You produce your own tracks, you engineer. But later on, I guess after linking with Steel, you started working with different producers.
Yeah.
Mainly Josh Lamont.
Yeah.
You have something with Rod, Rod the producer, on the last EP. So tell me about that transition for yourself as an artist, like just initially kind of just setting everything up from beginning to end by yourself, and then now being able to kind of like bring other people's work together into your music.
I think early on I just didn't trust anybody else. Like I had like, and that's like a deeper like thing with myself where I'm learning to trust people and not expect people to let me down. And that's like some super deep conversation I was having with Manny the other day, but it definitely stemmed from me feeling like no one else is gonna get the sound I want but me, so why not just do it like that? And then once I kind of got deeper into the music scene with Steel, because even when I was doing music before meeting Steel, I wasn't really connecting with people at all. So once I started doing music with Steel, he just started connecting me with other people, and I guess I felt like he trusted me enough to be around. So anybody he trusted musically to be around, I automatically assumed they were dope, and they were. And so when I met Josh, I don't remember how I met Josh, actually. I just remember he did gospel. Mm. He did gospel on White Linen, and I think that was my first kind of interaction with Josh and him as a producer. And I just thought like he was like so dope in the way he was breaking down samples and things like that. And then I met Josh, and he was just like a cool dude who just really was about production. And I was like, yeah, I respect that. Like, I just respected how dedicated he was to his craft, and because he cranks out beats like nothing.
Yeah.
And it also made me respect the producer side of thing, because when you're wearing like so many hats, when you meet somebody who that's what they do, you have another level of respect for them, where like there's some beats where I listen to it and go, he did something to that beat I would have never done because I have 1,000 things to do. I wouldn't have had the time to arrange it like that or add that extra sound. Like, he takes it to another place. So that's how I was able to trust Josh, and we've just developed this kind of like healthy competitive relationship where like as producers, you know, we're always trying to like create the best songs on Steel's albums or whoever we're working with, and like he'll send me joints for my album, and I'm still borderline competing with him, but it's like either way the outcome is something dope, and I really enjoy working with him. For this project, the two joints that Josh has were, I was working on other songs, and then I sent him the acapella because I just didn't feel like the music really was reflective of the emotion I was trying to show.
Right.
And, you know, I sent him over the stems, and he sent me back like two of like the deepest songs on the project. And I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I was looking for. And so that's why, you know, I'm always going to work with Josh. As long as Josh is producing, there'll always be space for Josh on any project I do. And then as far as with Rod, I actually met Rod when we were doing like Penthouse Views. Like,
gang.
That's like, I hadn't heard about Rod. And I heard about Rod, and we had kind of been in similar circles for a while.
I didn't know that was like the first day you guys actually met.
That was the first time. Yeah, yeah. No. Was it the first time we actually met? It was the first time we kicked it. He came by the studio with Steel maybe like a few months before that. And like he was like, you know how Rod is, yo, let's get in the vibe. And I'm who the fuck is this dude with this vibe shit, bro? Clearly he don't want to give you no beats, bro. Like, stop fucking with him. And so that's why when we got in the car, like we wasn't really like talking.
Oh yeah,
that's why we wasn't really talking because he felt.
Well, but also that motherfucker, he was on his headphones. Remember,
he was
on his headphones the whole time.
Even when he got in the
he was on the car in the car. I picked him up. He's like, "Oh, I'm working on something." He's like, "Hold on, I'm just saving it." Came in the car, was working on it, and I was like, "All right, this antisocial motherfucker."
He was, but the
and then he came to the we got upstairs. So plug this in.
Hard. That's actually what made me respect.
Actually, I think isn't that a song you guys are doing together?
I don't remember if that was the same beat. I don't remember if that was the same beat.
I feel like it might be,
but I do remember getting in the car and being like, there was energy with him, and, like me and him, because we laughed about it after the fact. But like, it was definitely energy with me and him. And then once he started making beats in the backseat of the car on the way over there, I was like, oh, all right, he's serious about his stuff. I didn't know what exactly. Actually,
what
I played.
Gonna have it.
I played Work Bay for y'all in the car that same day, for the first time.
Oh shit!
And I played it for him, and you know, I played for all of us. But he was like, "Yo, you're missing a little low end on the vocal." And at first, I'm like, "Whatever." And then
don't like, tell me mom
like you just a hater, bro. So we get to the crib and we was working on the joints and pounds views, and I like once we started like chopping it up and I was like, yo, and I went back and edited like so the ending version of Work Bay that y'all hear was inspired by the, you know, the tips that he gave me. So that very first day at Penthouse Views, and we all linked up, and I saw how cool he was, how talented he was. It was
awesome. It's crazy because when we were at South by when was 2019?
I think it was 18. I think it was 18.
When I was there, it was 19.
Oh yeah, you're right.
19. Yeah. So at night at South by, I was pretty fucked up.
I didn't notice.
By the time we got to nighttime, it was like people don't even know, but. I must have done like 16, 17 interviews at South By.
You did.
I only put out half of that number.
What happened to the other ones?
I was fucked up. I can't launch those because I was fucked up.
Right.
And every time I'm talking, I'm like, bro, you're mad drunk. Like, bro, there was this one whole interview. I remember sitting down. I remember the whole sitting. I don't remember what the fuck I was saying, but I remember hearing it back. And I'm like, I had to contact the artist. Be like, listen.
I'm sorry, bro.
I can't put that interview out. We're gonna have to reschedule or something.
Did you end up rescheduling?
Not with that particular person, but we still got like a good amount of episodes out for South By, even though half of them were gone. But the moral of the story was, you guys were on stage. I remember I was running back to come, like catch you guys on stage. Mm-hmm. So I ran back. I got there right after you. Oswin and Rod went on stage.
You're right. Yeah.
I didn't even meet them then because I was too fucked up. So. So I met Sway because I was the whole crew, whatever. And then I ended up leaving who knows where the fuck else.
Right.
Because I was running around like crazy.
Right.
For that.
That's when I knew, man. You were serious about this.
Yeah. So. And we were actually in a weird vibes during that time, too.
You keep saying that. I don't remember that.
I remember. I was like, all right. I can't chill with this dude.
Bro, you
I said, I can't chill with this dude.
Bro, you were all over the place, bro. I couldn't keep up with what was going on.
Nah, fuck him.
Doing a lot, bro. Like, yo, we went to South By. This is 2019, and we had first of all, I think we got there before you.
Remember they had that whole recall on the plane.
Yeah.
I was pissed. I was like, I just missed 10 hours because of this fucking plane. I said, I would have asked me. I would have went on that broken ass plane. I don't
exactly. So with you showing up super late, you was trying to do like 15,000 things. Meanwhile,
for the hours missed.
I was trying to hit the shows. I'm trying to see, but you're not trying to just hit the show. You're trying to do everything South By has to offer, from the rooter to the tutor. You know what I'm saying? As they say down south. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, bro, I'm here for this music shit, man. I'm here.
Yeah. I was like, you're at one show, bro. You should be at five. All of them.
Yeah, but there
one
was
artist
a lot
come
of,
here. Come
there
here,
was
come
a
here,
lot
here,
of other stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a lot of stuff going on my side. You know what I'm saying? Woo. South By Southwest.
Yeah. That's a good way to end that topic.
Yeah, we're going
to
stop there.
We'll stop with that topic. Stop there. But there was a situation while Jid was performing that I remember clearly. I was like, all right, I'm getting away from this situation. I said, you waiting for Jid? I said, good, keep waiting. Because I'll be back. JID.
Before we go off on this, I want to ask you about wild story. Can we talk wild South By stories?
Fine.
All right.
What
cool.
happened?
There was this girl I met. This is, I don't remember which year this was because it was a while back. But I met her on Instagram the year before, right? So she hits me up like after I already left. And she's like, you know, I thought you were cool, da da da. I'm like, I think I'm cool. Like, who the fuck is this? So I'm scrolling, yeah, like, who the fuck is this? So I'm scrolling through, I'm like, she's in Austin, Texas. I'm like, oh, damn, okay. I missed it. So, you know, we follow each other on the gram, we like pictures here and there. Mm. So I'm thinking she playing. So obviously the next year I go back, she's the first joint I'm hitting up. So I'm like, yo, I'm performing here. She's like, all right, cool. So I hit her up to come to the show, and she don't show up.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm like,
good start.
Right. I think she playing, whatever. So after the show, she hits me up. She's like, oh, I was running around with my friend. I'm sorry. Like, where you at? I'm like, I'm still at the same spot. So she comes through, and it's her and like three of her friends.
Okay.
And I didn't know they was from England.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Right. So she's like some foreign exchange student or some shit like that. I don't know. So we
see. I'm upset that we didn't.
Right.
We didn't link up.
So
why'd you have to be so weird?
Listen. So boom, we link up or whatever. We running around, and we at this club, and it starts shooting up. Like they start shooting up the club.
Okay.
Right. So now we all running around. We dispersing. Right,
and she's like literally shooting up the club.
Like literally shooting up the
club. Got you.
Right. Not that part yet. So we leave out, and now it's me. So it's me and her friends, and she like, you should come with me to my apartment. I'm like, all right, cool. Now keep in mind, nobody knows I'm with this girl. I'm like six dudes deep at South by. No one knows I'm with her. Right. So I'm just out of nowhere in the middle of Austin, Texas, like.
You left the main area,
bro.
With them
I'm out, bro.
Oh, so you're already out.
I'm out.
This is before you went to the apartment.
No.
The shooting was at the South by, and then you were out to her apartment.
Out, like okay, I'm cool. out in the middle cool. of nowhere, bro. Like all she right. could have robbed me. Like it could have been like
if
that.
if she would have robbed you, she deserves all your fucking money.
She should, because I was stupid. Yeah. So I pull up.
On top of that, come on.
So wait. So I pull up. Right, we get there, and. The roommate, she like dips out. She's like, all right, cool. Y'all have fun or whatever case may be.
The roommate? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. All right, cool. So we go to the room, right? And we start doing whatever. And she has a dog.
Okay.
And the dog comes in the room and starts licking my ass.
The dog was
the
licking
dog. The dog.
So why? Right, what position you in right now? What position are you in right now when the dog is licking your ass?
Bro.
Is it doggy style?
I am.
Because now he's just copying.
No, I just...
Stop doing my move. I get it.
I had just started, so I'm on top. So like,
so you're on top, and he cut. Right, what he kind just, of dog?
It was
like a small.
It looked like Kobe. I'm not gonna hold you.
Oh, so like a German Shepherd.
It was something. It was
dog. Oh no! It's a big ass.
It's a big ass dog. Now I'm stuck because she not moving. So I'm like, is this part of?
So you just let the dog continue licking your ass?
He wasn't eating my ass.
I didn't say eating. But you just let him continue licking your ass because you're like, fuck it. Your owner's not moving. I guess.
Was it a girl dog?
Because that's like.
It was a girl dog.
All right, so you're almost there for a threesome.
It was almost a threesome. Either that or animal cruelty. One of the two.
The fact that you let the dog keep licking your ass.
Did you really
think that was the best decision at the moment?
I was lit, and you know, it was a new experience either way. And
yeah, with the fucking dog. I hope so, motherfucker.
It was a new experience, and I was like, yo. I was like, yo, is this normal? Like I had to ask
her. Wait,
I asked the girl.
After.
I mean, at like 5 seconds in,
listen,
I'm like, yo.
You know,
I'm like,
you know when you were moaning?
Yeah,
I started moaning. It wasn't,
I wasn't
for
moaning.
Because your dog was licking my ass. That's why I was moaning.
I definitely was not moaning at all. I just, you know, moral of the story is,
ladies and gentlemen, go to South By and get your ass licked by a dog. That's the new one.
That was one wild night at South By.
One wild night.
And she inspired my breakdown that I did on, so the song South By Southwest that we got on.
Oh, okay, okay.
She inspired that song.
Got it. It was actually a wild moment at, you know, South By got the 6th Street, which is sloppy.
Yes.
And then they got Rainy Street or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Which is also sloppy, but people feel like they're not as sloppy for some reason.
I don't know.
At that other street.
Yeah.
Because they were just as sloppy. They were just dressed better.
Right.
So, quite the same amount of sloppy. So we went there with basically, I guess, the crew at the moment. So I probably shouldn't mention a lot of people's names.
We're going to edit that part out. Just finish the story.
It was seven artists. It was like seven artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh didn't talk to nobody. So
we edited that part out. We not going anyway, to go ahead.
So there was like seven artists there, and they all turned around and was like, yo, I'm going to tell him you're my manager.
Right, right.
I said, okay. Right. So then we were quite fucked up. So everybody's drinking, and I'd be talking to somebody, and then I'd stop. I'd be like, hold up. I got to check on my artists. So I'd stop her from middle conversation,
right.
Walk around the bar, just be like, you good? You good? They're like, yeah, all right, cool, just checking in. And they'd right. be like, oh, that was just my manager. He's always checking in on me. So I'd come back around. My bad, you know, because they get a little reckless.
I got to settle them down.
I got to settle everybody down.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was a whole vibe.
It actually. Was.
Yeah, we got to go back to time. South by. We're not going to get to the next part of that story.
No, we only have a little.
We only have so much time.
Right.
Allotted for this interview because clearly I don't know what the fuck
I'm doing. We're going to edit some stuff. You know what I'm saying? We'll be good.
We're fighting after this. But with that being said, everybody, that was Cool Kid Dre. Make sure to check him out on anywhere.
I didn't even talk about the album.
Hold on. Man. We're not there yet. We're not there. I was going to segue.
It sounded like he was wrapping it up.
Yeah, but that was Cool Kid Dre. Make sure you check him out. Everything with a K. Cool Kid Dre. Except the Dre. On Google, if you Google him, you'll find him. He has a new album coming out, 5 G's Later, Facts. 5 Girlfriends Later. Tell us when you're trying to launch that album.
The album will drop on May 19th. And so why
Which singles have dropped already from the album?
Work Bay.
Only Work Bay.
Work Bay is the only song that dropped from the album. And that was like strategic. I had never done that rollout plan where I put out single before album. Just because I don't know why. I just felt maybe before I wanted to be different. It's probably just not a good idea at all. Just probably another thing where I had to learn and move on. But putting the single out before the album, I just wanted to make sure that people, it was a segue because I had just dropped the EP, It's Not Me, It's You, and I kind of wanted to separate from that whole, because I had like a whole, remember, I had like a breakup
right.
thing going on, so I wanted to make sure that once the album hit, that was done and I had a segue into that. So I definitely plan on dropping some more videos for that.
And just in case you guys haven't checked out the video for Work Bay,
please do.
It's starring this very good-looking Albanian actor. I forgot his name. I think it was Edison something. But you guys can Google him yourselves.
This guy, man.
And
you didn't see the bloopers yet.
I didn't see the bloopers.
The bloopers
are coming. Is that rolling out?
The bloopers are coming out.
Oh, cool.
Bloopers are coming out.
Dope. I actually gotta get that clip and put it on our website too.
Yeah, we definitely going. We gonna do that.
So Work Bay, that's going to be your summer hit, everybody. The whole album coming out in May.
May 19th.
Stay tuned. It's definitely going to be a perfect album for nighttime activities.
Think so?
I think so.
That's a good way to put that.
I mean, just putting that out there.
I like that.
Used a couple of Cool Kid Dre songs before for some activities, so it worked out.
It's good to know.
It worked out. Yeah.
It's good to know.
That's actually funny. I actually laughed during the one moment because it looped in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Dre. Yeah.
So. We'll talk about that.
That's funny.
Yo.
Anyway,
that's dope. I've only done that. I think I could probably count on my hands the amount of times I've like had night activities to my own music. It's not.
For me. That's kind of weird because you listen to yourself talk to yourself.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So I understand why you wouldn't do that, but for me it worked out. Except when I remembered it was you, I was like, ah. Damn it, ruined it all.
Don't worry about me, man. You know, just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the moment.
Anyway, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, follow Dre at
Cool Kid Dre. Dre the coolest on Instagram and Cool Kid Dre on everything else.
And subscribe on YouTube. Give us 5 stars. Don't forget, this is your top 3% podcast worldwide. Thanks to Listen Notes. Also, top 100 podcasts in now 11 countries, multiple categories.
Look at you.
Number 2 in Japan for music interviews. Mm. Number 4 in Italy for music interviews. So, you know, we're working. We're international, everybody. If you Google us, you'll find us. That's all you need to do.
It sounds like a plan.
Subscribe. Hit that corner button. I hope so. I hope it's this one. Let's point right here. If not, let's edit the fucking button right here.
We're going to edit it. Go put one of the motherfuckers here, man. All right.
Stay tuned, everyone. Stay tuned. And check us out. 5 stars. Peace.